No worries at all, because you're listening to WHFR.FM. WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford Community College, the station making waves. It's time now for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Today is April the 8th, 2011. I guess you could say this is our tax day special, because we're going to talk about a tax proposal. And I don't know if you're like myself, but I don't like to pay income tax. I like to pay my fair share of taxes, but I don't like income taxes, and that includes to the state of Michigan. Why? It's such a hassle to do the forms, now, especially for the federal government. But we have today, on today's show, a gentleman who is extremely close to the issue of Michigan fair tax. His name is Don Dabrowski, and he is the newsletter editor, officially, on the website anyway, for them. He sends out emails for those that want to have more information on this proposal about weekly, and it's called the MI, for Michigan Fair Tax Clarion Sentinel. Don Dabrowski, welcome to WHFR Journal.
How are you? So good to be here today and to share with your listeners.
Well, I appreciate your time today. I don't know. I certainly hope a lot of people are asking for public comment from the Michigan Fair Tax. It is a proposal that we've been following here on the new WHFR Journal for the last couple of years, and probably began when I happened to stumble across a few years ago a book by Neil Bortz called The Fair Tax Book, and I didn't realize that there was almost a 20-year history at the federal level, at the national level, of this proposal. And it's been introduced as a bill every year for quite a few years now at the national level. But we have a Michigan Fair Tax version that talks about changing actually eliminating the Michigan income tax system that we have in place now. I should also mention, besides Mr. Bortz, who his last name is spelled B-O-O-R-T-Z, they've also published a couple of years ago, Fair Tax, The Truth, Answering the Critics, and that's in paperback, and that's a good one to get for our listeners. And Ken Hoagland has recently written The Fair Tax Solution, Financial Justice for All Americans, and I think that just came out last year.
Yeah.
All of those are great background, although the Michigan Fair Tax proposal stands alone. Whether the federal government, we as a nation go that direction or not is not the issue here. The Michigan Fair Tax proposal is what you and your group are sponsoring. Let's begin, Don. Again, the gentleman I'm talking to is Don Dabrowski. That's D-O-B-R-O-S-K-Y. Yep. Mm-hmm. And newsletter editor of Michigan Fair Tax Association. Tell our people a little bit about the association itself, how it came about. Is it a lobbyist group? Is it an official nonprofit? You know, lobbyist groups I know can't be nonprofits, but what's the status of that organization and the people that are involved? I guess my underlying question here is it a front group for, like, a group of businesses, or tell us the background of the group, and then how you got involved too, Don.
Okay. The Michigan Fair Tax Association is a 501c6 nonprofit, and as such, we cannot back any candidate for office, be it from any party. All we can do is we can say that this candidate is a supporter of the fair tax. Now, as an organization, the Michigan Fair Tax Association is totally volunteer. Everybody that's on our board of directors and everybody that works for the fair tax in Michigan, including myself, does not receive a salary. We don't have that kind of funds. We are trying to do our patriotic duty to the state of Michigan and be supporting of something that we think is a great way for everybody to have to be taxed and to be taken care of. Let's see. I'm trying to remember all the question you gave me. Can you share more?
Yeah, it's great to know that it's nonprofit. I guess I should, just for conflict of interest issues or whatever, I have been a financial supporter of both the Fairtax .org group for the nation and here in Michigan.
Okay, we do not represent any group. There's no, like the Michigan Chamber or anything like that is behind us. We do have some groups that have endorsed us. Mm-hmm. To this point, and I'm calling this up on my computer so I can give them to you, but the Small Business Association of Michigan, Kalamazoo County Taxpayers Association, the Taxpayers United Michigan Foundation, the Wayne County Taxpayers Association, Wyoming Kentwood Chamber, and the National Taxpayers Union have endorsed the Michigan Fair Tax. And, of course, there are a number of individuals that are involved also.
Sure. Sure, of course. Okay. So it doesn't appear to be a front group. And a lot of the people, I don't know about yourself, are actually volunteers. So
we are all volunteers.
All volunteers, including, I think it's John Crawford, who's listed as your executive director. Is that
yes,
right?
John Crawford is from over in the Grand Rapids area.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's so we can't say you're not a grassroots organization or that you're a front group. In case people are wondering, well, there's all these organizations and some of us who do the research, we see a lot of organizations, especially in the media, that come to us with press releases. But in fact, they are heavily funded by people that have special interest. And maybe that's good or maybe bad, but I'm just saying sometimes it's covered up, and you're not sure of really how unbiased or how objective the opinion is.
Well, can I give you some background on Fair Tax?
Absolutely. That's the next step. What is the Michigan Fair Tax proposal? We'll assume that people listening right now know nothing about it, so give us the general overviews. And by the way, I'm joined here in the studio by my news director at WHFR, Dennis Reimar. So Dennis is going to say hello now.
Hey, Don.
Okay. Hi, Dennis. How are you? I'm sure we've talked before.
We did. You were snowed in at the time, the first time we spoke. So, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Let me share with you a little bit where the whole Fair Tax idea came from. I know you mentioned Neil Bortz and the national thing. There were a group of people back 20 years ago who looked at the taxation system in the United States and said, what would it look like if we had the best possible taxation solution for the country? And they were a bunch of economists that I believe they were from Texas. And out of that came this proposal, the Fair Tax proposal. And the Fair Tax proposal was based on a consumption tax. And the leaders of this said, okay, we've had consumption taxes suggested in the United States, and every time they have come before Congress or every time they've come up before the legislature says, no, this tax is regressive, and we will not put a regressive tax on the people. And the fair taxers figured out this prebate idea where you untax everybody up to the poverty level. And that is the real hook in the consumption tax or the fair tax.
Okay, let me just interrupt here for those that don't know what a consumption tax is. That is a tax you pay on things you buy.
Right.
On everything in this case, including, and we'll get into the details later, but including food and medicines and houses and so on, right?
We currently have a consumption tax in Michigan. It's a 6-cent sales tax.
That's right.
Yep. A sales tax and a consumption tax are exactly the same thing.
Right. Except in Michigan, we don't pay that sales tax on food, is it?
Yeah. There are certain things that are exempt at this point.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. So there's, so we replace, in fact, because that's the idea here, to get a tax that's either, well, more fair by whose ever definition, more equitable. And so it's a matter of replacing or actually increasing and extending the sales tax to cover the lost revenue from the income tax withholding. Is that right?
Well, there's more to it than that.
Okay. Go ahead.
We as a country have been fed this idea that businesses pay taxes. And that is rhetoric that is unsupportable, okay? And when I say it's unsupportable, here's the truth of this. Businesses don't pay taxes. People pay taxes. If I go into business, I don't have a $50,000. I say, well, I'll pay the taxes for my business with it. The money that comes through the door as I sell my product is the money that I use to pay my taxes. And so the people are actually paying that tax, the people who buy something. And on a national level, they would say that that amount of hidden tax that nobody knows we're paying is somewhere around 22-23%. Now, once a fair tax would get rid of that, since it went on tax business. So in Michigan, the proposal is to eliminate the 4.35% Michigan personal income tax. That eliminates that. So everybody in the state would receive 4.35% more in their paycheck because the income tax deduction that comes out every week would be replaced, and so they would have more money.
Uh-huh.
We'd also replace the Michigan business tax, including the 22% surcharge, the business personal property tax, the 6 mil education tax, and all business-to-business sales taxes, plus the current 6% sales tax. Once you eliminate those, then you can put in a 9.75% sales tax on all goods and services that would cover all of the taxes that we now pay and would be a replacement, dollar-for-dollar replacement for the state. But here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. When I eliminate the business taxes, I make Michigan the best place in the country for jobs and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
We would have people coming here to set up businesses. And I don't know about you, but I've seen an awful lot of factories that are empty, a glut of them.
Yeah.
And people would come here and would want to build things because we still have the market. We're still in the middle of this huge market. You know, Wisconsin, New York, we're in the middle of it. I mean, we can sell our product easily. And we've got to get business here. We've got to get Michigan back to work.
Okay, let's break this down. A couple things that you mentioned there. First of all, I think it's clear that we go from the 4.5% personal income tax and the withholding of that that always comes out of our checks.
Right.
And eliminate that.
Yes.
And then and then we also eliminate any business taxes. Now, Governor Snyder has proposed changing, it's a little bit complicated, but the business taxes that are out there now to a 6% flat rate on business income.
That's correct.
Okay, and so the Michigan Fair Tax proposal would not need that.
Oh, it would eliminate
that
because
too.
It would make it would make business taxes zero.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, no, that's probably scary to some people, and even myself. I was upset when I saw that General Electric.
Can I help you there?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You asked me one question.
Yeah.
You asked me why I got involved in this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a degree in economics from Lake Forest College in 1961, and. It took me until about 2001, I had a guy talk to me about the fair tax, and he said, businesses don't pay taxes, we pay taxes.
Right. I know you gave that explanation before.
I had been
before.
In business for myself,
mm-hmm.
okay, for 17 years.
Yep.
I own a donut shop. I've raised my family there, and I never realized that my customers were the people who were paying my taxes. When I got to tax day, I thought, well, my business owes tax, I'm going to have to pay it. But it never struck me that the money that I got to pay those taxes came from my customers. Now, maybe that's strange,
mm-hmm.
but all of a sudden it struck me. Businesses don't have money in a special fund to pay taxes. You know, it's just like the radio station there, okay? People buy a product, and then that guy decides to advertise on the radio and gives you advertising money.
Well, I should say we're non-commercial, but
You're not commercial. Well, the radio station...
almost all the other stations are commercial, and you're exactly right on that. No, I understand that the fine point here is that the taxes businesses pay are part of their expenses, and they have to cover those expenses by sales, by the
That's
prices
correct.
They charge in sales. Now, there has been some evidence, apparently, because I was really interested in this when I read the book Fair Tax, The Truth by mm-hmm. Neil Bortz and John Linder. There's several examples, because people are always saying, okay, well, you understand, you know, that the prices we pay include the cost the businesses have to incur and a little more for their profits. But how can we guarantee that if the fair tax is put in place that they would lower their prices? Maybe you'd like to respond to that question.
Well, this is what I'm going to share with you on that idea. Two gas stations, one on each corner. One selling their gasoline for $3.98, and the other one selling it for $3.99. Which one do you go to?
Yeah, well, of course, right. So competition may lower those prices.
Right, and so the bottom line is the sharpest tool that we have in the American economy today is price competition. If I have several businesses in an area, let's say that I have several grocery stores, which is very possible, okay, a large grocery store, a small grocery store in a town, and I reduce this tax to them, I take away their business taxes, one of those guys is going to go, you know what? I can get more business if I lower my price.
Mm-hmm.
So he advertises a lower price. Well, having been in business myself, I can tell you that I can't sell a donut for 26 cents when my competition is selling them for 25.
Okay, now
just like a gas station.
Okay, I want to remind our listeners, I'll do this every 15 minutes or so, Don. We're talking to Don Dabrowski today for the whole hour of the new WHFR Journal, Local News and Alternative Views. And this is certainly a proposal that deserves thoughtfulness by all participants. In fact, I think it transcends the usual liberal, conservative, Democratic, Republican, or what have you labels. But Don Dabrowski is the newsletter editor for the Michigan Fair Tax Association. And you can, again, check out their website, mifairtax.org. Okay, so we're looking at this competition, lowering the prices
right.
If we have the fair tax.
Do you remember?
The only exception I can think of, and just let me get this one out, is that in a few industries in the U.S. nationally, there's only a couple of big ones. I mean, it's almost, well, if you can't say monopoly, you can say, or if you can understand oligarchy.
Sure.
There's almost price collusion among, say, the top two or three large companies, and they support each other. And so the usual checks and balances or supply and demand doesn't really work very well in those situations, whether it's monopoly or oligopoly. Now, that's not the case too much in Michigan, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
That affects us here, but that is a problem that is a concern ongoing, because it messes up the sort of balance, competition.
Sure. Well, the economists would say that it's going to take anywhere from a month to a year for prices to come down.
Right. Yeah. Oops, I'm sorry. Are you there? Okay.
One of the things that's important to realize is we already have an example of exactly how this works. I don't know whether you remember several years ago. It's more than several years ago now. It's probably 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
The airline industry was relieved of certain burdens that they had. And on Monday, they said, well, we're not going to lower prices. We need the money to run our airline. And on Wednesday, a small airline out in Phoenix, Arizona, by the name of Southwest, lowered their prices. And by Friday, everybody had their prices down to where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little less than a week for the whole thing to become reality.
Yeah.
But I think that this is going to happen across the board. I know if I was in business, and my son owned a restaurant, if his business could have lowered prices by, say, 50 cents on a meal,
mm-hmm.
he would have had people in the door. Okay, there's no question about it. And
yeah.
he did well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was not what killed his business, but... The bottom line is he made a choice to get out of it.
Okay,
but I know if he could have used price competition,
right.
he would have had everybody in town with a lower price because everybody would have had to follow suit.
Okay, I think we've had a good background on that aspect of it. What about the prebate, then, you were talking about? Explain the details of how that would work. Again, that would compensate for the, let's say, the unfair burden on taxing all goods and services for people of lower incomes.
That's correct, and that's exactly what it does. The government would provide for each family, based on family size, a check each month. It would be received on the first of the month. I'm a retiree, and so I have one person in my family. I would receive $89. That $89 would represent my tax money for the 9.75 cents per dollar up to the poverty level. So every month I would have $89 to pay my taxes before I started.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm driving at?
Plus in your paycheck, you'd have 4.5%.
Well, I receive
less
Social
taken
Security.
Out. Okay,
but
so
yes,
that's different.
In paycheck, the average person would have 4.5.
Okay, whoops, I'm sorry. We got a little feedback on the studio phone system here, but okay. And so, but of course, everybody does get that.
Everybody
who has
gets
a household
that.
Who's registered. with the state, I guess. However, I guess homeless people,
if they have a Social Security number,
yeah,
okay, they're going to be eligible.
Okay,
and
they just got to make
we're going to get that check to them somehow.
Yeah, some address where they could pick up the check.
Some address where they could pick up the check.
Okay,
yes. So even the homeless people would have some disposable income. I mean, even
if it's just a
cup of coffee or whatever,
right,
which they don't have now.
Right. Yep.
And when they buy that cup of coffee, not only do they they have a tax at the restaurant. I believe restaurant food is taxable at 6%.
So let me make it clear. We have a lot of senior citizens in Dearborn, literally. I think over half the people, we have about 100,000 people in Dearborn, and over the half of those folks are over the age of 50. And so starting a rather senior community here. A lot of them are concerned about the idea to put a 4.5% income tax on their pensions. Michigan Fair Tax, if it goes into place, even if that was in place, that would eliminate that too, wouldn't it?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. I personally think that this whole idea of a tax on pensions is ridiculous. There's no need for it. The Michigan Fair Tax Plan does not require it and would, in fact, do away with all that income tax idea, the compliance costs and the whole nine yards. So.
It could write that.
Line
it
is,
could write
know,
that wrong if that
fair
wrong
tax
happens.
Takes us into a place where we really have a system which is not only good for government, but it's good for old, young, you know, whoever you are.
Okay, I guess is that the basics then that we've talked about? That's
yes.
The basics. Okay, but to put this in place would require an amendment to the Constitution of Michigan.
That's correct.
Okay, and we're not going to have a constitutional convention in November to vote on. I think we voted that down already, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so how does that happen? Remind people about Civics 101 in Michigan. How do we get – I know there could be a public petition started to put something on the ballot, but that would take a couple 100,000 signatures or more.
Right.
And that's almost impossible, even if you pay people to collect
yes.
signatures on anything.
Yes.
So how can the legislature do that for us?
Okay. Well, first of all, as you have said, the Michigan sales tax it requires a vote of the people in order to change. We cannot make any change to the sales tax without that. So we would require, or we need our government, we need our legislatures, our elected senators and representatives to place the Michigan Fair Tax on the ballot. That's the next step.
Right.
And once it's on the ballot, then we can vote on it. And everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets a vote whether we're going to keep the old system or eliminate the Michigan income tax, business taxes, and go to a 9.75% sales tax on all goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
And the Michigan Fair Tax has come up with this idea of saying, okay, we're going to have a 9.75% sales tax on all goods and services, but that's going to bring jobs and prosperity.
Okay. So is it a majority or two-thirds of the House and the Senate?
I believe it's a majority. I don't think it's two-thirds.
It doesn't have to be signed by the governor.
Don't quote me on that,
yeah,
Jay.
Well, we got to look that one up. But
yes.
Because getting two-thirds of any House or Senate legislative body is almost impossible. As we've seen in the national government, they couldn't even get 60% to end debates in the Senate in Washington, D.C.
Right.
over the last couple of years. So that is an issue. But does the governor have to sign that, too, to put it on the ballot?
I believe that if the people pass it, it becomes law.
Right, but I mean, to put it on the ballot.
I think he has to sign that, yes.
Yeah, okay. I would hope he would consider it. Again, he could let the people decide once there was a chance to get the word out to everybody, and I'm sure there would be all kinds of media and advertising and people taking sides. What do you think the major criticisms are going to be? Let's be sort of negative here. I mean, even now, I think one thing that I've mentioned this to, we interviewed both Virge Bonaro and Rick Snyder on this show last year, and we did bring up Michigan Fair Tax to both of them, and they were both sort of noncommittal. Snyder actually said, well, that would have to be sort of a long-term thing. You know, we need short-term answers to get the money flowing a little bit. But he didn't say no to it, and of course, neither did Bonaro. George Duraney, who's a representative from this area to the House of Representatives in Lansing, a Democrat, He was open to the ideas, and he, I don't know where he's going to stand, but it seems to me that since the fair tax proposal nationally has been supported, and even in Michigan, by certain Republicans, and offhand, I don't know any Democrat anywhere in the whole country, well, there must be at least one, that has been in favor of a fair tax proposal, it seems like the Democrats would want to resist it without thinking, just because a few Republicans have been for it. Okay.
Well, we won't go there because we're not going to take sides.
No, I don't want to take sides either. But I'm just saying that's
where the fair tax is.
Okay, go ahead.
The Michigan fair tax has had the opportunity to testify in front of the Michigan Senate Finance Committee and in front of the Michigan House Tax Policy Committee this year.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that we have in the Senate a majority of co-sponsors. And we have in the we have quite a few in the Michigan House, but not a majority yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we are feeling like when the bill is reintroduced. Now it was introduced 3 years ago, but the House and Senate Finance Committees wanted to send it back to the Michigan Treasury to check and make sure that the rate that is currently being proposed, which is 9.75 cents,
mm-hmm.
is enough to actually be a tax replacement.
Right.
So as soon as that calculation is done, there will be a bill introduced in both the Senate and the House asking that this be placed on the ballot.
Wow, great. That's great movement in getting the idea further into public attention, and also, of course, maybe moving it through the House and Senate. It's great to know. I'm thinking that Democrats, again, I'm trying to end gridlock,
sure.
Thinking about ideas like the Michigan fair tax, a lot of people feel things are, either one way or the other way. Well, it's either Republican issue or Democrat, and just not the case with this one, as I see. And I can argue that liberal Democrats might love the fact that consumption tax, assuming that people that have more money spend more money on houses, cars, mm-hmm. travel, even more leisure time activity because they have the extra money. And therefore, they'd actually be paying more of the consumption tax than people who were poor and just couldn't afford the
sure.
higher priced items. I mean,
sure.
If you love, again, this is just one spin on it, but if you love the idea of a graduated income tax, then Michigan fair tax proposal, as well as the national fair tax, would have people that buy more, in other words, make more money, and therefore usually buy more things, they would be paying more. I think they're just paying their fair share,
right.
But they are in effect contributing more per person that way.
The graduation's built in.
Yeah, the graduation is sort of built into it.
Sure.
And I don't have you found people, the upper class people that have more money, thinking that it's unfair because of that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not true. The people who are most against this are people who benefit from the current system.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now,
sure.
Big business.
Let's take a look at who those people might be. First of all, the people who would give away tax write-offs or tax incentives to this business or that business who could, if you will, take the system and twist it to work in their benefit. I'll give you this benefit, you give me money for my campaign. That kind of thing, okay, is typical of an income tax. The ability of the income tax to be, if you will, messed with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the tax lobbyists and those people who benefit from the system are the ones that are totally against this. And unfortunately, some of those people are elected representatives. They sell a portion of the tax system, and they get money for their next campaign, and they're happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair Tax has been, and several other organizations.
I have a question
trying to identify these people and say,
I understand that, and so all of these special income tax exemptions, deductions, credits are just gone.
That's right.
Right.
I would imagine small business accountants aren't thrilled about it either.
Actually, that's not true.
Right. I know. I was reading about that. Explain.
As an accountant, I can go to taking care of businesses and helping them be more efficient. I can go back to the original idea of what accounting was 100 years ago, which was the accounting department helped you make your business more more efficient by supplying cost data, you know, all those things. So there really is a place in our economy for accountants. It doesn't necessarily have to be taxes.
Right. I think, in fact, I read in one of the books is that either one or the other national organizations that represent accountants are actually in favor of Michigan Fair Tax for the reason you gave. In other words, they can get down to the, you know, not just finding loopholes, and in a way, I would think morally or ethically to me, if it's a legal loophole, it's okay. But it seems like, you know, you're getting an unfair advantage over other people, even though it was passed into law by your representatives. But you can get down to running your business on a daily basis, not looking for all the special little kickbacks. And of course, our legislators would be free of that pressure too,
right,
constantly to come up with kickbacks, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, the lobbyists would be the guys that lose their job here.
Yeah, good point.
You can't lobby a fair tax. You know, I had an article that I wrote for the paper just recently. It's going to come out in the next issue. And I was saying, you know, let's look at what would really happen in a town with a sales tax. And let's use the current sales tax of 6%. When I go to the restaurant, I order a $3 beverage and I pay 18 cents. But across the street, there's a guy that orders a $200 bottle of wine to go with his filet mignon.
Yeah.
He pays $12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me is fair. The guy with the most money pays the most taxes.
Right.
And that's the way it should be.
Right. And they have the, well, theoretically, unless they overspend, and anybody can overspend their own budget, whether you're rich or poor, they should have somewhat more discretionary money. I mean, it's true. You could buy a home for, you know, whatever, $50,000 in some areas here, in or less even in Dearborn these days, or you could buy one for $5 million. But that's, you know, not always in the right location. And practically speaking, there's sort of a cap on what the a person want to spend on an average basis. So as you get more money, you have more discretionary funds. I don't want to overstate that. But again, assuming that you're watching your spending and you're making rational decisions about things, I hate, just on the federal level, and then Dennis has a question, I hate the fact that the income tax nationally is something like 67,000 pages,
yeah,
and most of it is exemptions, exceptions, and credits for so many people that, in fact, most tax consultants are not even aware of all of them. Of course, if you're working for a company full-time searching for all those, you got lobbyists looking for them, you'll find them. But that's just so patently unfair to everybody, as well as confusing and time-consuming. I mean, the time the accountants put in, again, it
retraining. There's another benefit to accountants. They don't have to retrain every year. Seriously, my gosh.
Well, they retrain by looking at, as Don was mentioning, efficiencies. I want to tell our listeners, we're talking to Don Dabrowski the whole hour today on the Journal about the Michigan Fair Tax proposal, which is has been discussed now in committee in the Michigan House and Senate, and it may get to be even have a vote, which would take us in a new direction. It does require the public to vote. Do you think that could happen by this November, Don, if it really went quickly?
Well,
is there a 90-day lead time or something?
Let me share with you something that is happening that I think your readers might want to be involved in. We have a tax rally coming up on the 14th of April.
That's just what Dennis is pointing to me right now. Yes, we're going to mention it. Go ahead.
And one of the things that I've asked in the newspaper is that not only do people go to Lansing to be part of the fair tax and tax rally, but we have electronic participation. In other words, people get on their computer, they send their senator, they send Governor Snyder, and they send the representatives a note on the 14th of April that says, we want a Michigan fair tax, we want jobs and prosperity, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe that it could be done, you know, very quickly, but it needs to be done from the people. The people need to understand that we, the people, are the ones that the elected representatives listen to, and they're the ones that will be obeyed. If tomorrow 100,000 people showed up in Lansing clamoring for a fair tax, there would be a lot of legislatures going, hey, wait a minute, we got to take a look at this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if my representative received 40 emails on the 14th of April saying, you better consider a fair tax, she would think that for each email she received, there was 1,000 people out there that believed that she was that email was right.
It's probably not far off either.
So she might think, hey, 40 people, there's at least 4,000 people in my district that want a fair tax. That's sort of kind of like the number that they use.
Let's just remind our people of two things. Number one, April 14th, next week Thursday, 6 days away, that rally in person in Lansing. I assume it's a step of the Capitol building, or the steps of the front of the Capitol building. It's at 12 noon.
Starts at 12 noon. Yes.
Right, okay. And, of course, the email question to your elected officials, your website, of course, can help facilitate and even explain more things, so we should always keep mentioning mifairtax.org.
Yes.
Go ahead. You were going to follow up. So, whether it's Facebook or tweeting, however you can get in touch with your elected officials and the governor, if people are in favor of getting this idea out there and getting it up for a vote by the people, next Thursday the 14th is the best time, right?
Yes. Let me read you a quick paragraph that I wrote as a little story. When was the last time you heard of a win-win-win-win-win situation? Take a closer look at fair tax proposal, everybody wins. The people, the old, the young, the rich, the poor, those on fixed income, the city, the county, the state, the politician, the governor, the jobs market, general prosperity, and our system of government. The Michigan Fair Tax brings simple, common sense answers to many of Michigan's most perplexing concerns. Could this be possible, you ask, with some skepticism? The answer is yes, because this proposal was not born politically, but developed economically as the best and fairest way to tax a state or nation. The Fair Tax founders answered one basic question. With a clean slate, what tax system would you recommend as being the best? The result was the Fair Tax, and all state and national Fair Tax proposals harken back to the original research data. Unfortunately, we have to admit that 1% of tax lobbyists in Lansing and Washington would lose their jobs under a Fair Tax. Life is not perfect, but 99% is pretty good.
Do you think this would have to be implemented like over a year or two? I mean, they have to get all the names ready for the prebate checks. And, how long do you think it would take to get it in place once it was adopted?
We think it would go pretty fast.
Okay.
The reality is that the system of taxation under a sales tax is already there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sales tax unit in the Michigan Treasury. And we would ask everybody to apply, and so you would go down to, say, I don't know, maybe the Secretary of State's office, that hasn't been determined, and you would say, I'm such and such, and here's my license, and here's my Social Security card, and they would take the number of people in your family, and, you know, or you would have Social Security cards for each member.
Register
of your
online.
Get them early now.
Yeah, register online, Dennis says. But you could even, maybe your friendly businesses who wouldn't have to be collecting and passing along those income withholding taxes for the state of Michigan, maybe they would help that registration process too. And so you think maybe for the calendar year or the fiscal year or whatever of 2012, if passed by the voters, perhaps in November, if it gets on the ballot.
If it got on the ballot, I think it could happen very fast.
Yeah. Dennis has a question.
Donna, one of the hot topics, of course, around the state of Michigan is the two words tax incentive, and when you attach the word film to it, people really get excited about it, right?
I'm depressed by it.
Well, and in the reality is apparently Governor Schneider is too. But the way you're laying this out, because I remember you said earlier, you said that it will increase the appeal for people starting a business here in Michigan.
Yeah.
So in essence, what we're saying is we wouldn't want, let's say, like, take the film industry, for example. They wouldn't just come in, do their stuff, wrap it all up, and then apply for their 40% or whatever it is rebate after the fact.
That would be all eliminated.
In this case, they would actually have to, as Jay and I talked about yesterday, pretty much set up shop here. They would have to have a part of their business here in Michigan to benefit, which is not entirely bad, correct?
Yes, that's not entirely bad at all, and that's true. And they may in fact want to set up here. because there would be no taxes on any business. Of course, we'd be the first state in the nation to do that.
I know.
Yeah, but you know that because I was really an advocate under the old tax system of the Michigan Film Incentive for a while, because we don't have, even though we have a lot of talented and skilled film and video professionals in Michigan, sort of left over from the media communications of the former auto industry that was here, we don't have the studios, the production houses to be self-sustaining.
Sure.
But and therefore. What the governor suggested, this $25 million grant up front thing, it's just ludicrous. I mean, businesses out of state, but they're not going to come here for those grants up front. That's not, there's other states who give them a better deal. But to come here, and so my idea was we've got to have incentive long enough to get them to build here and stay here and make this their headquarters. And this would make us number one in terms of the least business taxes in the U.S. And, that gosh, that's got to be an incentive for film and there's any other business.
Yeah.
I just think we'd have so many people inquiring. I mean, I think the state website servers about this idea once in place would probably be bursting with people inquiring, how do I get there? How do I start a business? And so on. And so that answers the question. I mean, I've been asked as a telecom professor here at the college for 40 years, you know, where do I stand? And I say, well, we're going to lose all the film business when we lose the current tax incentive. However, you know, with the Michigan Fair Tax proposal, we'll get film industry and many more coming here, flocking here, I would think.
That's right. Well, what would really happen is we supply the best climate to do business in the entire nation with a fair tax. We bring Michigan to the place where people want to say, I can come here and I know that I'm not going to have to compute anybody's personal income tax. So that's gone. There's no compliance cost with income tax because the income tax is gone. I don't have any business taxes. They're not going to tax me because I own a piece of property, which they do right now under the personal property tax. That piece of property is taxed every year. And, of course, if you don't own a business, you aren't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But once we get rid of all these business taxes, okay, we become the primary place in the nation to do business. Now, there are two other states that are getting close. Missouri already has passed this through their lower house, and South Carolina introduced a bill into their lower house about 2 weeks ago with 66 co-sponsors in a house of 124.
Wow.
So they already have a
majority.
They already have a majority in the house for that bill.
Mm-hmm.
So South Carolina and Missouri and Michigan are the three places where this fair tax idea is really, really, really percolating toward being a reality.
Let me introduce to you one question here. Again, it's a comment I got from a couple of Democrats that I talked to in the last year or two. Sure. Not currently in office. They were kicked out. But they said, oh, no, I won't go for a consumption tax. I won't go for a fair tax, however you figure out. Because in difficult economic times, people aren't going to buy stuff, and so there won't be any income. And, of course, I think it's obvious, and I'll even jump in here and say it, property taxes drop lower because property values drop lower faster in bad times than consumption monies,
right? That's correct. Well, the reality is this, that the income taxes have dropped 20% while the consumption tax has dropped about 8 or 9, maybe 10%. Property taxes have jumped significantly higher, been down significantly more than consumption.
Yeah.
Consumption is more stable.
Mm-hmm.
The average person, while they change the products that they buy, do not change the amount of money that they spend unless they lose money, okay,
mm-hmm.
from their job. Now, you know, my son, this is a really sort of a weird story, but he started out at Tecumseh Products at $16 an hour 20 years ago. Today, after being through a number of jobs, he makes $9 an hour. Now, with 20 years of experience, he makes half of what he made 20
yeah,
years
really,
ago.
Really, yes.
And that's true for a lot of people. And in that sense, consumption is being affected. But if I give him a 4.35% raise by eliminating the income tax, that's the first raise he's seen in a long time.
And let me just go back to give a little authority to some of these figures here. This is not a for people that might have just heard about the fair tax proposal and Michigan fair tax for the first time on the show today. Again, there's great books, the fair tax book, Neil Bortz first. Currently, The Fair Tax Solution is available nationally by Ken Hoagland, H-O-A-G-L-A-N-D. And, of course, they can go to mifairtax.org. But it's not a fly-by-night idea. As you said, it originated, I think, with some economics professor at the University of Texas. I remember reading in one of these books, there's extensive studies that have been done over the years, maybe by graduate students or whatever, but like Harvard, $20 million. Or more, or maybe at several universities, studying the consequences and the effect and in fact, the fairness of this proposal. And it's all favorable, right? So this is, I mean, it's been heavily studied, heavily documented, even though it hasn't been put in place anywhere yet.
Well, there's even a Michigan study, and let's talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
MIFairTax.org, and when you go to MIFairTax.org, you'll see something that says economic analysis. And the economic analysis was done by Professor Gary Wolfram from Hillsdale College and his assistant. And they have that information on our website. So you can see, actually, that study was done in February 2008. The other person is Dr. Aikawa, Bruce Aikawa, both from Hillsdale College.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in the process, again, of looking at further economic study. But this study shows that Michigan would really benefit in terms of jobs and prosperity from where we are to where we need to go.
And and there's not even any discussion of these other tax issues, like will trickle down work. That's not the question. This is all up front. This is this is very clear. And personally, as someone who buys things, in terms of the proposal in Michigan, I'm already paying 6% income tax. I'm already got that 4.5% withholding leaving me from my checks before I even get them.
Yeah.
And this is only an extra 3%, 3 cents, 3.75 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, but so, but that's not the way to look at it.
No, I know, but I'm saying even if I was so narrow-minded.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is that you get the 4.35% back, but you receive the prebate.
Right,
so
yes.
So a person that was spending like $25,000 would have an effective tax rate somewhere around 2.2%. So it's not 9.75 cents because you've got that prebate that you receive every month that pays your taxes up to the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
So actually your tax rate, your effective tax rate, is going to be significantly lower than it is today because more people are going to be paying.
Right. Yeah, no, my example was even if I was very narrow-minded and didn't understand about the prebate, an extra 3 cents on a dollar, even though it would go to all goods and services, wouldn't really trouble me, it would be a minor thing, but the important point to make for everybody, and especially Wayne County Taxpayers Association, this is not a new tax. We start with it as a replacement amount for the monies coming in right now. So not any more, not any less, going to government. And what I like about this is that, well, two things. One is that, I know you would have gotten to it, Don, yourself, is that one, everybody that buys something pays it, including anybody that might be a tourist or immigrant workers legally here, let's say, that there's not that that sort of under-the-table market. I'll do that for you. I'll do that, let's say, work around your house for you or that, home repair or something, I won't report it. Yeah, the cash economy, we lose a lot of money that way, and in fact, they don't even have to worry about under the table or not.
Every waiter and waitress that doesn't, you're right. That's a huge.
That everybody has to pay this up front, and whether they're registered or legal or whatever, but they don't even have to worry about that, the tax people coming after them for avoiding that, because they're all paying it all the time anyway, plus they're all getting their prebates, as you said.
That's right. Even those people involved in illegal activities.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the guy that's dealing drugs who wants to go buy a gold chain. And he goes buy his gold chain, he's going to pay his 9.75% tax.
Ah, we got him.
Yeah. I love the fact for those people that do want to pay less money to government, that they feel government should have less services or spend their money more wisely, now we have a number that is upfront every time you make a purchase, 9.75, although, yeah, as you said, prebate reduces that effectively. But if you don't think that government should be getting that much money or that the money should be going somewhere else, you've got a target to work on improving government or reducing government. So even for those people that say, you know, I want a tax reduction, okay, they've got a target, an accurate target to go at now.
Let me tell you how that works, because there is a tax reduction in the Fair Tax Plan.
Yeah, go ahead.
In Michigan, the rate would start at 9.75 cents, but it was a tax replacement plan that allows the government to have the same amount of revenue that they received in the current year. It cannot exceed that amount. If it does, that amount of money has to be put into a special fund, and then it has to be decided, are we going to reduce the rate? So, like, you might start at 9.75 cents, and then maybe the first year it grows bigger than what you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
That might reduce to 9.30. It would reduce the rate. The money would go against.
So there's an automatic kick-in of
that. You don't need to revote for or redo anything. It's just automatic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's automatic, right.
That's a great proposal to be part of that. Was that added recently? I don't know if I saw that in any of the books about Fair Tax nationally. Was that something that was that always part of the concept?
No, that is not part of the national plan. That's part of the Michigan plan only.
Okay. Well, that even further answers the problems with people.
Now, something that has been sort of like kicked around, one of the big issues for Michigan taxpayers is property tax.
Uh-huh.
And the fair taxers are saying, okay, if the fair tax works the way we think it will, there will be a surplus of revenue on the state level. What would happen if we put before the people an opportunity to use that revenue to pay their property taxes dollar for dollar so that property taxes could be reduced? Now, they've done that in Florida. They have they placed a 1 cent sales tax increase, and they took all their property taxes away, and now it's all paid for with sales tax. We had thought about doing that, but the rate is too high, so we're saying, okay, let's get the rate on all goods and services going. And by the way, you have to remember that under Michigan sales tax, or Michigan consumption tax, fair tax, that you pay nothing on used items.
Yeah.
Which is really big.
Okay, nothing on used items. That's interesting.
No tax on used
items. Boy, there's going to be a lot of flea markets spring up.
Yes, and
garage sales.
To some degree, isn't that wonderful? I mean, anything that I've got in my garage that I can sell is worth $2 or $3 more under fair tax because it's in demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really cool. But I really haven't, the effect of being able to handle my taxes. You know, I can go to that flea market and buy a shovel to do the garden this year, or I can go down to the store and buy one for $7. When I buy one for $7, I owe tax. When I buy one at the flea market, no problem. I tax-free.
Yeah.
So I have the opportunity to control the amount of taxes that I'm paying for items that I
recycle some of the older products, even for used cars and so on, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something I think that's really interesting. I mean, Here's people talking about, you know, the Green Revolution and making sure that we use stuff better. And the fair tax takes us there, just like you suggested, that, you know, I'm going to use items that are used because I can buy them tax-free.
That doesn't include somebody else's house, though, does it?
Well, there's an issue here, okay?
Right.
The Michigan legislature has talked about one of two things. A tax on no used items, and then a tax on no used items except those that have a title.
Hmm.
Houses, cars, and nobody knows which way that's going to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's one of those items that is still in limbo.
Yeah, that we don't want to have too many of those things to muck up the so-called fairness or balance of the plan.
That's exactly exactly the argument.
Right. Huh. Yeah, but I think except titles is kind of an interesting idea there.
It's all
a boat would be titled. A car would be titled.
Right, yes, of course.
Yeah. Now, with a car, I know certain people.
Dennis is looking for a used car right now.
Right. But I know a lot of people that will buy it from a friend, and then they can put whatever they want on the back, and they pay tax on $100, even though they paid $3,000.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's a way around everything, I guess. But
yeah, There, in the economic world, we talk about tax noncompliance, and we talk about the percent that is averaged on tax noncompliance. Under an income tax, right now, the noncompliance rate is somewhere in the 30%. Under a fair tax, the noncompliance rate would be somewhere in the area of 3 to 4 to 5%, depending on how it goes. I mean, people go across the border to buy this into Ohio or into Wisconsin or into Indiana. Or, as they, you said, they lie about the amount of money they paid on a used car in order to keep their taxes down. Under any tax system, there is noncompliance. You can't have a perfect system.
Yeah.
But under the fair tax, it really is a lot lower than it is under an income tax.
Well, of course, yeah. You'd have to, I mean, everybody has to buy things, and everybody has to pay, except, you know, very, very small little kinds of cheating that people would organize, but it'd be much more difficult to be noncompliant. In fact, I heard somewhere, and I don't want to necessarily say this to make people not pay what are their is their fair share of the taxes in Michigan right now, but that the state of Michigan doesn't even have a good way to enforce noncompliance. I mean, enforce it to go after the tax dodgers. That it would just take too many people. They need a huge system like the IRS has, although they don't have enough people to go after all the tax dodgers either. In fact, I think the national IRS organization has fewer people than they had years ago, and so there must be a high degree of noncompliance with federal tax, and of course all the exemptions and exceptions and credits and incentives that come into the mix too. I really think we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, and I thought I knew a lot about this. We've been talking to Don Dabrowski here on the new WHFR Journal today. This episode, Tell Your Friends, is also available as a podcast after 2 o'clock today, April the 8th, from our website, whfr.fm. So if you want to listen to it later or tell your friends, it's really been very informative to me. And Dennis likes the idea about the
absolutely
no tax on used cars.
Well, yeah.
but that's not the big deal. The overall view is much more important here. Don Dabrowski, newsletter editor for the Michigan Fair Tax Organization. You would like to just sum up the plea and the appeal, especially for the rally and electronic participation on April the 14th,
sure,
to get Michigan Fair Tax moving along.
Sure. Dennis and Jay, thank you much for your opportunity, and we'd like your listeners to know that the Fair Tax has a rally in Lansing on the 14th. It's 12 noon at the state capitol, and we're asking everybody in Michigan to get on their computer and send their senator, representative, and Governor Snyder a note that says, let's get the fair tax moving, place it on the ballot, we need to vote on it, so that we can have jobs and prosperity in our state.
Thank you so much, Don, for being with us today, and thanks to you and all the other volunteers for Michigan Fair Tax Organization for keeping this going. And I know there's been ups and downs the last couple of years, and a lot of good things. You have to persevere. You have to keep at it, and you folks certainly have. So thank you for being on the Journal today.
Yeah, Don, you've been great. Hey, the snow melted over there, right?
Yes, the snow melted.
All right. He was kind of worried.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you so much, Don.
Okay. Take care. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. This is the new WHFR Journal, and this is the end of the show for today. Coming up next is the Highway 61 Blues Show. Oh, my goodness, the people are flocking in. We are starting just for the Blues Show because it's our Radiothon 2010, 1 week a year, plus 1 day for Highway 61. So we're starting a little early. Our Radiothon doesn't start till Sunday officially, when everyone is going to ask for your pledge of support to keep programming like the last hour on the air here in Dearborn, and for all those on the internet to listen throughout our state. We do things a little bit differently, a little bit better. This is WHFR Dearborn. Please consider making a generous donation to WHFR.fm at our website, which is WHFR.fm, as I said, or on air. And the number is 313-845-9676. Just wait a couple minutes today, April 8th, until they're set up here. And you can find out about all of our pledge incentives just by listening to Joanne's show between 2 and 6 o'clock today. So here's the Radiothon plug. pitch, and Joanne's show starts immediately. Thank you for listening today, and we'll be back again next Friday with Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr., our special Radiothon interview for 2011.
Check out your favorite WHFR shows April 10th through the 16th as WHFR.fm proudly presents Radiothon 2011. Radiothon is the one time a year we ask you, our loyal listeners, to pledge your tax-deductible financial support and help keep us on the air and making waves. That's Radiothon 2011, April 10th through the 16th, right here on WHFR.fm.